We're here to help, though, really. Just let us in.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Okay. VitalityCapsules.com is Dr. Daniel's website, and where you can get the Vitality Caps from her that she talks about. That's her main go-to guy to keep you moving, and they will do that. She also does consultations, discovery sessions via Skype and telephone and stuff, whatever. And you can just contact her through the website and do that. You okay, Doc? I hear a lot of noise there. Oh. I think she's doing some. Okay, tomorrow, Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money with Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. Tomorrow, that's me, and then the Masseys will be here. Richard Massey and Meridian Grace on Thursday, Sharon and I on Open Phone Friday. Okay, Doc, we're back. You ready to go?
Yes.
Yeah, it was funny. I was getting to talk to you a moment ago, and I could hear you in the background opening windows or closing it or something like that. Were we out there just seeing how the lizards were doing outside for a minute?
Well, my daughter went out to do an errand. I had locked all the doors. She couldn't get back in the house, and so I had to unlock one door to let her in.
Lock your daughter out. How old's your daughter?
24.
24.
And she's single.
Really? She cute?
Yes, and she's looking for... Oh, she's gorgeous.
Really?
And she would like to homeschool, have home birth.
Mm-hmm. And
any interested guys who are financially stable, you know, she'll consider that.
She wants to have babies?
Absolutely.
Oh, man, I'm there. I'm all over that one. I don't know why I've got
She's looking for a little younger guy.
Yeah, but you know, I tell you what. Yeah, I've been having this baby thing. I don't know what's going on with me and babies. Okay, Gail says, I wondered if you could ask Dr. Daniels what she thinks of drinking kombucha. They sell it now in the local Whole Foods where you can fill up a glass jug. The one I like is mixed with orange juice. It's a great refreshing drink and in the warm weather. Does Dr. Daniels know if the health benefits of kombucha, are there health benefits or any reason or downsides not to drink it? Okay. Kombucha.
Okay, so kombucha is basically a form of a probiotic. Mm. So it's a cultured or fermented beverage. So I've experimented with kombucha. I borrowed the kombucha culture from a friend, and I mixed it up just so. You have to brew the tea and add a cup of sugar and a gallon of water and slap the culture in there, and boy, is it fizz and bubble and just incredible.
Yeah.
But it definitely has downsides. So what I found with kombucha is it works well with people who have a long history of, say, antibiotic use, a devastated immune system. And the way you use kombucha is you take a sip, mm-hmm. and at the end of the sip, you ask yourself, do I feel better? If you do, then take another sip.
Uh-huh.
And ask yourself, do I feel better? If you do, take another sip. But if at any point you take a sip and you don't feel better, then that's it. Put it down, leave it alone, don't bother it.
You're done.
You're done.
You're talking
yes.
about evidence-based so medicine. Evidence-based medicine.
Yeah, you can do this daily. And so basically 16 ounces of kombucha will generally, if used in this way, last you about a week, mm-hmm. which is good because it's frightfully expensive stuff. It costs about $3 for a pint mm-hmm. or more. I've also found with kombucha is you can get too much if you just guzzle it because it tastes so good. Then usually you'll find yourself getting, aches and pains here and there, or shooting pains here and there in different joints. So that's the kombucha story. Oh, yep. What's my favorite kombucha is there's a brand of kombucha that I absolutely like. It ends in T-Y. But it comes in a glass bottle, and let me see if I can find it.
Here in the U.S., they have about 12 to choose from at the hippie food stores. You know, there's this amazing amount of them. Some of them do a better job, I think, at fermenting that little mushroom thing and eat up all the sugar, and some have a lot more sugar residue, and
Well, the thing is, there's no free lunch. You either get a lot of sugar or a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, one or the other.
So, you know, you got to make up your mind.
Eats up the sugar and that turns to alcohol, right?
Right, Synergy. Synergy is
Brand. Oh, we know that one. It's all over the U.S.
Synergy. And the problem with Synergy is they've got into the whole value-added game. And so they're throwing in chia seeds and this and that.
The
problem is once you start throwing in more stuff, now you got to throw in the preservatives. You got to throw in the sodium benzoate and the potassium sorbate and the citric acid and blah, 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 blah. So you, all you want is just the plain old Synergy organic raw kombucha with nothing else in it. They do still have different flavors. I have found really absolutely no difference one flavor to the other, and I have not found any credence to their emotional labeling. So they have these emotional labels like, you know, peace, serenity, you know, all sorts of stuff. But you get that effect from the probiotic effect of it, and that's the deal. So the kombucha I've made at home, it has never been a positive therapeutic effect. Because the problem is, you make so much of it so easily. You're like, oh my God, I got this whole gallon, I gotta drink it. And then, you know, you drink a pint and your joints start talking to you.
Yeah.
Because these organisms are just going all over the place.
Yeah, I like your idea about taking a sip and, you know, seeing how you feel.
Yeah, well, you have to pause and see how you feel. Yeah, and if you don't feel better, that's it, stop. But if you do feel better, take another sip. Usually about sip two or three, that does it. You know, you're no longer feeling better, and that's it. Put it away. You'll feel great the rest of the day. It's a very good feeling, and you just do this with the one jar. Like I said, one jar generally lasts pretty close to a week or even more.
And it puts little good probies down around your body.
Puts little good probies, but the problem is the sugar content.
Yeah.
And so if you cannot get rid of the sugar, because if you do. Again, it turns to alcohol. So either, you know, you're drinking vodka or you're drinking kombucha.
Yeah. Hey, what about putting a little bit of, could you use that as a carrier for turpentine, I wonder?
I wouldn't know. It's water soluble. Turpentine is fat soluble. Yeah. So you have this little mismatch.
Yeah. Dr. Daniels, my father suffered a heart attack last Thursday, has been diagnosed with AFib. He's currently in the hospital waiting for internal bleeding to resolve. Likely caused by the XARLETO he was on for 3 weeks. He's been given 5 pints of blood since Thursday. Now, that's
so they're killing him.
Yeah, that's how much blood he's lost. The cardiologist wants to put a stent, but my father and I aren't convinced that's a good idea. I'm advocating 100% natural course of therapy going forward, cutting out sugar, smoking, managing stress better, and definitely taking the herb wabanine that Dr. Thomas Cowan mentions. From Brazil. Is there anything else Dr. Daniels would recommend for my dad? He's 78 and he's scared to pieces of leaving the hospital and an AFib episode happens again. I'd love to give him something to believe in to calm him down. Oh.
Well, is he in AFib right now? Have they restored natural rhythm? Probably not. So the success rate for restoring natural rhythm is just about zero. So chances are he's still in AFib.
What does that mean, AFib, Doc?
Atrial fibrillation, that means the upper part of the heart beats very quickly, almost like a vibration, and that's called fibrillation. They call it vibration. You might understand it and not be impressed, so use fibrillation as the word.
I see. And the cause of that is?
Smoking.
Oh.
In disguise.
Yeah.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Cigarettes, basically, is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So the magic bullet here, if you want to call it that, is for him to quit smoking. Whether he uses the herb by Dr. Such and Such or this or that or whatever, it's really neither here nor there. The underlying cause of his atrial fibrillation is cigarette smoking.
Uh-huh. And that should calm down if he quits?
If he quits that and adjusts his diet and give him some of his basic supplements that you can find in my Candida Cleaner document, go to vitalitycapsules.com, download it for free. And in the first half of the document, it talks about basic supplements. These are basic supplements that your body cannot produce itself. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what his father needs. The solution is actually very simple. It's a lot simpler than the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could only imagine the fear and trepidation one has, you know, sitting in a hospital room running around with guys with stethoscopes telling you this and that. And
oh, that they've just overdosed you on blood thinner. Yeah, and now you're bleeding, like, darn near bleeding to death.
Yeah.
And of course, you feel like, oh, I can't leave the hospital because I need them to monitor me in case I need blood. Well, dude, they're the ones that made you bleed.
Dude, they're the ones that made, God love them. Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. Good morning. Daryl says, please provide, if you can, Doc, a reputable source for the herb small willow flower that you have mentioned. Small.
Maria Treben is the best source.
Oh, we know her. She's a long-time herbalist, right? Maria Treben?
That's right.
Yeah. Is she still around?
There's a site that's, I don't know that she's still around, but there's a site.
Do you know how to spell her last name?
T-R-E-B-E-N.
I have her herb book downstairs. T-R-E-B-E-N. Probably
Swedish Bitters is the site.
Ah, Swedish.
www.swedishbitters.com.
And what does the small willow thing do?
Well, it depends. It gets rid of baldness.
Oh.
Gray hair.
Oh, wow.
And restores the kidney and prostate. So that's what it does.
Wow. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Restores gray hair. Really? Speaking of gray hair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, he's a big fan of yours. He's a neighbor. Mm-hmm. He's 80 revolutions around the sun. He's got stone white hair he's had for many years. He was a pilot. And he told me that many, many, many of his pilot friends have white hair. And so he calls me at 8 o'clock this morning. He says, I got to go out to work. You know, he's 80 and he works every day. You know, that's why he lives. You know, he moves, right? And, he said, would you ask Dr. Daniels a couple questions? Because I can't listen to the show and I will listen to the podcast. So here I am. And two questions. He wanted to know what would be the connection with pilots and white hair. And the second question is, he says, what would she do for swollen prostate? So I said, do you have a swollen prostate? He said, all us old farts, they all get swollen when we get old. So I think he's bought into that idea. I said, well, do you pee a lot during the middle of the night? He said, only if I drink too much water at night, maybe I'll get up once. So that's what he does. Okay. I said, I'll ask.
So a small willow will take care of both of those. I don't know enough about pilots to understand why.
Yeah.
My husband was a pilot. He had gray hair.
I wonder.
But he had a head full of hair. No thinning or baldness.
Yeah. So does, yeah. He has massive amounts of hair, but it's just white. It must be something with the radiation up there or the elevation or who knows, you know. Maybe the air they breathe. So this small willow you think is a nice thing for prostate as well?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. That was easy. You'd like this guy. He fixes septic systems and put them in, so he works with poop after you get it out. And he's hilarious. He says, well, that's what I do. And, I can make your poop do whatever you want it to do after you get rid of it. I could even make it go uphill. It'll just cost you more. I can make it go uphill. It'll just cost more. He's great. Please ask Dr. Daniels how to cure measles. Ooh, and other childhood infections in unvaccinated children. My boys, unvaccinated, 4 and 7, and they don't like any meds, capsules, tablets, turpentine. Is there a natural cure? How do you get into your child? I don't know. What are they trying to do?
Well, the thing to do is prevent it. All these childhood diseases, if you don't give the child dairy and you make sure he poops regular, you're pretty much just nothing to worry about.
Yeah, but I don't
know. Measles also is harmless. No one under the age of 30 in the United States has ever died of measles.
There's nothing wrong with measles, is there?
Under 30. Death rate zero.
Yeah.
Under 30. So they should start vaccinating people at the age of 27, sounds like, right? I mean, if you were paying attention to the epidemiology. So everyone who's died of measles in the United States in the past three decades has been 30 years old or over.
Yeah. What is it about
the age,
I wonder?
They've all been immunocompromised people.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no health threat from measles anyone under the age of 30.
We all had measles when we were kids. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, I don't know that I was a pretty healthy kid. I didn't have measles.
So I don't think, I think I'll disagree with you there, Doc, that I have a lot of nerve disagreeing with your doctor. But I think measles is a natural progression detoxification thing. And
it might be, but it's definitely harmless. It's, you
right.
are not going to die
agree.
Of measles if you're under 30.
And I think smallpox is the same thing. Not smallpox, chickenpox. So chickenpox.
Well, chickenpox, the only people who have ever died of chickenpox are people who are treated by doctors. Yeah. There has been not a single death from chickenpox when the chickenpox was left untreated. Yeah. So the doctors intervened with antibiotics and steroids, and the kids died.
To this,
but there's not been a single death from chickenpox in a person untreated. So you cannot make a case for giving a dangerous, deadly procedure, vaccination, for a disease, chickenpox, that's not deadly.
Right.
And we now know measles to children is not deadly.
She adds here at the end, oh my gosh, one of my 7-year-old friends, fully vaccinated, recently died of meningitis in a hospital. Could Dr. Daniels have done anything to prevent this?
Well, yeah, don't vaccinate.
Don't vaccinate.
First step, don't vaccinate him. Second step is, well, first of all, meningitis doesn't just show up. There's a few warnings, like fever or dizziness or something. But you should have realized immediately the kid was constipated and given the kid at least a good swig of castor oil. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't manage that, an enema, so 7-year-old, you can give him castor oil, under threat of death, which is really, of course, he'll die if he doesn't take it. So the 7-year-old, you should have enough parental authority going on that when you say take castor oil, he takes it.
Mm-hmm.
So, simple dose of castor oil or castor oil and turpentine would have definitely prevented that.
I know some unvaccinated moms that when they hear about kids who have measles in the neighborhood and their kid has them, they said, go there and drink whatever cups Jimmy's drinking out of. And so
they shouldn't do that.
I don't know. I think it's good.
Don't even bother.
Let them get them. What's wrong? I think it's a detoxification.
If you have an unvaccinated kid, you don't want your kid around vaccinated kids. That's really the real deal.
Well, that's true,
vaccinated
too.
Vaccinated kids are shedding all this junk.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But, I mean, I don't have any, what can I say?
Gotcha. Yeah.
I don't see any advantage in having my children associated with idiots.
Well,
that's the way I look at it.
Okay.
Not to be snobbish about it, but I'm not going to have my kid run over there to associate with this ill-informed hypnotized family.
Okay.
If he wants to go play with them in his spare time, it's on him, but I'm not going to encourage it.
All right, CJ in Vancouver, British Columbia. Please ask Dr. Jennifer Daniels if she is familiar with new German medicine. Also, are facial exercises worthwhile? Thank you both from Vancouver, British Columbia.
I am familiar with new German medicine. I don't practice it or bother with it. I think facial exercises, more or less, are a waste of time.
Okay.
The question is, what are you doing them for? If you're doing facial exercises because you want to stay young and look beautiful, then for the most part, they're a waste of time. I have a book, Do You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful? It tells you how to get rid of your wrinkles and sags.
Do you have the guts to be beautiful? That's on your website, vitalitycapsules.com, right?
Yep.
Hello, I would like to try out the Georgia Pine Turpentine for DIENTOMEOBA. That I have tested positive for. I noticed that the link on your store does not send to Australia. Do you know any blah, blah, yeah. Let's see. What I would do is call the, what's the name of that company, Dr. Daniels? Do you remember?
Diamond G Forest.
Diamond G Forest. Go ahead and call them or email them directly. And I believe they've begun to ship international now, but the Amazon won't ship internationally to Australia.
Right.
So I would go right to their website, diamondgforestproducts.com, and I think they are now shipping international. So does the Amazon US ship to Panama?
No, Amazon doesn't ship internationally.
Oh, that's right.
So you Amazon has different Amazon sites for different countries.
Ah, right.
So if you want to buy something from Amazon, you want it shipped to England, for example, you would go to amazon.uk.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys got your own there in Panama?
No. There might be one. I haven't looked at. Mm-hmm. I mean, Panama's a pretty small country. I wouldn't imagine we would have our own. In fact, I'm sure we don't.
So which one do you use to get to you?
I have to mail it to a forwarding address in the States. So it goes to the forwarding address, and they receive it. And so as a matter of record, it's recorded as having been delivered to a Florida address.
Ah, gotcha.
And then that address automatically forwards everything to Panama.
Oh, okay, that's clever. Doris wants to know, what are the best ways to get rid of uterine fibroids that have calcified and are very old?
Well, it depends on, how calcified they are and where the calcification is. If the calcification is a bunch of specks in the center of the fibroid, then there's really nothing to worry about. You can just, clean up your diet, get rid of all of your processed food, especially get rid of all of your dairy, all of your external estrogen. Cut back your meats to the least amount of meats you can eat and be happy with. And then you definitely need to do enemas to pull more trash out. And that should take care of it. If you have calcifications, then you have to take a look at your diet. But usually the calcifications are from milk drinking or from taking calcium supplements. So definitely don't take any calcium supplements.
Boy, they were big for a while, weren't they, Doc? Whew, man.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, geez. Take calcium for your bones. Yeah. It was in the 90s and the early 2000s, yeah.
Boy, everybody was taking, oh, my goodness.
But every single scientific study done shows that supplemental calcium does not create stronger bones.
What does?
Supplemental trace minerals and collagen.
Mm-hmm. Collagen. Mm-hmm. Do you take that every day? Do you take collagen?
No. I go straight to the source. I eat the animal products that the collagen is made from.
Mm-hmm. I thought the collagen was made from other than just muscle meats, though. Do you get collagen when you eat like a ribeye or T-bone or something like that?
No, you have to get collagen. You've got to eat animal skin.
Yeah.
Or animal feet, like pig's feet or cow's feet.
Do you do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you eat animal skin?
Well, you just buy like a ham hock. It's got tons of animal skin on it, and you cook it up and you eat the skin.
Oh, ham hocks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ham hocks with greens? You use greens?
I do use greens.
Yeah. Lyon in Germany, Lyon, great name. I want to help a friend of mine with type 1 diabetes and want to gather some really solid research material for her. Do you have some shows concerning the subject directly with Dr. Daniels, or can she recommend some research that I could show to my friend?
Yeah, you can just Google type 1 diabetes and dairy and Google type 1 diabetes and what is that mineral? It's one mineral.
Chromium?
Not
chromium. Not sure what you're thinking. Chromium.
Zinc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Google that. So type 1 diabetes, antibiotics, zinc, and dairy. And that'll give you everything you need to cure her type 1 diabetes.
Really? Okay. So we got zinc, dairy, what was the other one?
Zinc, dairy, and milk.
And milk.
I'm sorry, zinc, dairy, and antibiotics.
And antibiotics. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Dr. Daniels and Patrick, well, good morning. What are the potential causes of cystic acne, and how would you treat it internally and externally?
So the potential cause of cystic acne basically is your diet and constipation. Those are the two biggies. And cystic acne is pretty bad stuff. But the first thing is get rid of all your dairy products. Second thing is get rid of all of your antibiotic sources. And third thing is poop a lot and drink a lot of water.
Poop a lot. I like that. Poop a lot. Poop a lot. Can you poop too much?
Yes, you can. But so usually somewhere between 3 to 6 poops a day, that's good enough.
Wow. What if a thing like Vitality capsules or other things that people use get the poops that are unformed? Are you doing, you want to back off? Do you want to try to keep the little poops formed?
Whether it's formed or not doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
No. In fact, if you get the big whoosh of like a watery poop of like a pint or more that comes out, you can just look at that as power washing your intestines.
Power wash, or like going to a car wash.
Yeah, going to a car wash.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Daniels, have you ever successfully treated heart arrhythmias with turpentine? And if so, could you please share the protocol? Have you been successful treating cases of the various strains of Epstein-Barr or shingles? And what would you use for that? So we got two of them. Heart arrhythmia with turpentine.
So heart arrhythmias, usually turpentine is not necessary to treat a heart arrhythmia. So for heart arrhythmia, you just basically follow a cleansing vegan diet without preservatives or additives or processed food. So that's the heart arrhythmias. The heart arrhythmias are usually caused by chemical poisoning or by cigarette use. So that's usually what the cause of heart arrhythmias are. And then our second thing was
Various strains of Epstein-Barr.
Yeah. Epstein-Barr does not require treatment. Epstein-Barr is harmless. So if you happen to test positive for Epstein-Barr and you don't feel well, then your real problem is malnutrition. And so then that's just a matter of increasing your nutrition through food or supplements. So that's the Epstein-Barr question. The shingles question, so whenever a person has shingles, they have a weakened immune system because everyone has the herpes virus from when they had chickenpox as a kid. And so then if someone has shingles, the thing to look at is what is their dietary issue. A lot of times a dietary issue is amino acid imbalance. And so high-dose lysine can take care of it. But in any case, what I've found over time is simply increased hydration, increased pooping, and increasing their nutritional status, usually with higher quality foods. And the shingles goes away and it clears up.
So the shingles is tied up with the chicken pox.
Correct. It's the same organism.
Same organism. So the people that have, who are most likely to get that shingles symptoms if you've had or have not got the chicken pox, huh? When you were a kid.
I've never met a shingles person who didn't have chicken pox as a kid.
Okay. All right. So it was something
so
that
I
just...
can't speak for those people who not had chicken pox as a kid.
So yeah. The shingles, the chicken pox stuff didn't get all out, or there's still the virus is still in there or something? That's the shingles.
Okay, so here's a big view into the level of deception in medicine. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as immunity. If there was, the folks with chicken pox wouldn't be getting shingles, right? It's the same organism.
Okay.
Right. So if there is no such thing as immunity, how can you ever give someone immunity through a vaccination? You can't, because it doesn't exist. That's like me giving you the Easter Bunny through a vaccine. Well, the Easter Bunny doesn't exist, so I can't give you the Easter Bunny through vaccination or any other method.
Because just depending on the state of the body, it never gets to a point where it says, you'll never get this. It doesn't exist. Immunity, as it's said in the medical model.
No, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist, yeah.
So if it doesn't exist, then you can't confer it. You can't give it.
Yeah, you can't give it. I like your Easter Bunny analogy. I like it. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a fair amount of concurrence on the existence of the Easter Bunny, so we can all agree on whether or not the Easter Bunny exists.
Probably so. Of course, yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of the Easter Bunny.
On the fence about that one.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on the fence about the bunny. But
I can see that, yeah.
You can see that. Mark in Lexington, Tennessee, or Indiana says, here's a question. I have non-acid reflux. My doctor put me on 20 milligrams of omeprazole before each meal.
Omeprazole.
Yeah, I took it for about 4 weeks until I became very dizzy for 2 days.
Correct.
Now I just feel dizzy right after waking up. I have stopped taking that even though the doctor said to continue. Is there another way to treat non-acid reflux? I've never heard that term, non-acid reflux.
Yeah, this is so ridiculous.
Somebody just made up a new
thing. So in other words, this person has reflux, and they don't think it's associated with acid.
Right.
But they're giving him a drug that stops acid formation.
That made him dizzy.
Well, let's not even get to that point. Let's take our little baby steps here.
Okay.
If you have reflux and it has nothing to do with acid, why give you a pill that shuts down your body's acid production?
He didn't ask that question as a problem.
I know, but we should ask that question.
Yeah, I think you should.
So now that we ask that question, the answer is there is no reason. The answer is the drug is not going to benefit this person. It can only harm him. So here we are, an individual who's been harmed. So how can you get rid of non-acid reflux? When we touch his dizziness, because he didn't ask about that. But the non-acid reflux, the cause of reflux is actually pretty well known. Acid reflux indigestion became an issue in the United States when breakfast was introduced as the third and necessary meal of the day. Hmm. So if he's a breakfast eater, he can stop eating breakfast.
So what happens? What's going on when people skip breakfast in the body?
The stomach does not get over full, and there's not this pressure on this veil between the stomach and the esophagus. And it gives the body an extra 5 or 6 hours to decompress and empty the stomach.
Oh, empty the stomach of food and whatever is down in there sloshing around.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's a curious term, break fast, right? People used to fast, right, until noon, and then they came up with, well, let's break the fast. And they called it breakfast. That's where the term came from.
Right. But it was with the advertisers in the United States, they realize, wait, people are eating lunch and they're eating dinner. We want to sell them more food. We're not able to sell them any more food. So we have to create another meal, a third meal. And so then we got breakfast. So then people were eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they were pretty miserable at it because, they were overfilling their stomach, not giving their stomach the time it needed to empty. And then they said, okay, we've saturated the breakfast market with all these box cereals and processed this and that. Now we need to create snack foods. Now I need to explain to people why they have to eat between meals. And so all of this stuff contributes to reflux. So the first thing you can do is skip breakfast. The next thing is stop snacking and, just have two meals a day and drink more water, and he'll notice the reflux will clear right up.
Yeah, I mean, Oreos are an important thing. You got to figure out a way how to have people eat them, those Oreos.
Oreos,
whatever, I've never heard that term, non-acid reflux. Have you?
These doctors make up stuff all the time. It's just made up. It's just made up. And non-acid reflux, if it's non-acid, then why do you treat the acid? Why do you reduce acid if it's non-acid?
Dr. Daniels from Bill in San Francisco. Is turpentine effective in treating aggressive cancers of any kind?
Is it effective in treating cancers of any kind?
Correct.
I have received many emails from people saying that it has helped or even cured their cancer.
Really?
I'm not a cancer fan myself, because it's my belief, based on research, that 80% of those who are told they have cancer actually have nothing wrong with them. They're actually perfectly healthy. So I would say to anyone who receives a cancer diagnosis, the best thing you can do is probably ignore it. Just my opinion.
Yeah, now I understand.
Okay, non-acid reflux disease. This is GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, renamed.
Yeah.
They just renamed it. And medicine does this all the time. They just make up new names. And so they have to make up new names to give the impression that they've cured the old disease. Because if they keep using the same old name, GERD, 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 it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I know, GERD. Yeah, you doctors don't have any good medicine for it. Okay, goodbye, I'm out of here. But if you call it non-acid reflux disease, people say, oh.
That's a good one. I want some of that.
You guys have cured the GERD. I must have the new disease. Oh, let me take the therapy for the new disease.
Okay. Amazing. Jose in Montreal. Man, people all over the world. God love you. I had issues with my sciatic nerve now. Now I'm taking gelatin, DMSO, wheatgrass juice, stretching, and exercising. Was doing great for a while. Now my left knee is in pain, and I think it's the sciatic talking to me again. Does Dr. Daniels, have any advice? P.S. Your Vitality capsules work fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So if he has left knee pain, that's not sciatica. So sciatica is in the back, runs down the butt. It can go to the back of the knee and, even the back of the knee. Usually it runs all the way down.
Can I get you back on the microphone a little bit, Doc? We got you off mic a little bit.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
So sciatica starts in the back, runs down the butt, down the back of the leg, can go all the way to the heel or the foot.
Mm-hmm.
So this knee thing sounds like something different. All right. So there's a philosophical issue here. A lot of times when you have a disease, it can be an addition problem or a subtraction problem. In other words, you can have a disease where in order to get better, you have to subtract, you have to cleanse, get rid of toxic junk and waste, or it's an addition problem. You have to add more nutritious stuff. So this guy has gone out of his way to do the addition piece, which is the gelatin and the other supplements for his connective tissue. So it sounds like now he's got a subtraction problem. So now his problem is he's eating something that's actually causing this pain in his knee. So he's got to identify that. And usually it's sugar, flour, dairy, meats. Those are the four major categories. And any processed food. So he needs to go over his diet, figure out what that is, and stop eating what's bothering him. But let's just say he's in a hurry. He can just slap some turpentine on that knee and take the pain right away. Of course, it'll come back because he hasn't changed his diet, but then he can just reapply turpentine again, and the pain will go away. So until he figures out what he's eating, that he's got to stop eating, he can just apply turpentine.
Anna Michigan writes, last time Dr. Daniel was on, she had a question about foot nail problems. I'm having trouble accessing the last episode. So this is more technical thing. What are Dr. Daniel's favorite way to use castor oil and how? And thanks so much for all you do from Kyle Ann. Your favorite way?
There is no limit to how you can use castor oil.
No limit.
Oh, my goodness.
We love castor oil. Our favorite. I love it.
You can soak in it. You can drink it. You can apply it. You can mix it. Oh, my goodness. There's so much to do with castor oil.
Yeah.
It's hard to go through. It's a lot.
It's a wonderful thing. Isn't it? It's a beautiful
thing. Yes, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it really is. Isn't the original name or people call Palma Christi or the Palma?
Palma Christi, the hand of Christ.
The hand of Christ.
The hand of Christ.
Thank you, Jesus. You're healed. Okay. All right, let's do this here.
So if you're at a loss of what to do for castor oil, the Hail Mary for castor oil is just apply it from the waist down for 3 days and then head to toe for as long as you want to look and feel gorgeous. So that's the short story in castor oil.
That's it. Previously with Peter Ragnar, who's a great example of staying young and healthy, we asked him what kinds of things he takes.
Personally, for myself, I look at all of the supplements that help bolster and harmonize my hormones. And, this is both for men and for women. And when you go online, there's so much information about that out there. I heard on one of your advertisements there, Patrick, about the pine pollen. I personally take pine pollen, which I think it's an amazing product. Has an amazing effect upon the body.
Peter, it's one of our favorites too. Pine pollen, any of these are Thrival Links. You have the pine pollen pure potency, pine pollen gold, and if you'd like to get it every month, the auto ship is the best price. Also, Stephen Buhner's book, exclusively on pine pollen, is right there on the site too, Daniel's site. Right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously, with research scientist at MIT, Stephanie Seneff, PhD, and the curious connections between these glyphosates, Roundup, GMOs, and sulfur.
So if you simply put the glyphosate in place of the glycine in the sulfur transferase, you will not be able to get the sulfate from the cholesterol sulfate to some other molecule, such as the heparin sulfate. The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. But it's really, really important to be able to do that because, for example, cholesterol sulfate, it delivers sulfate to the cells. But in order to deliver it, you've got to take the sulfate off of the cholesterol and put it on something else. And that's where the sulfur transferase would come in and wouldn't be able to do that.
I know, gets a little geeky, but the point is that without the proper amount of sulfur in the body and now it's being disrupted because of the GMOs, even more than what it was already doing. It's not good. So we think that this sulfur product that we've been promoting is really helping people to keep everything kind of working well, because this whole sulfur cycle is kind of God's way of keeping the bad guys out and exiting the body. And because our sulfur is absolutely pure with no additives, it's different from almost all the other ones out there. You can click an order, three prices, right on our website, oneradionetwork.com. Okay, we talked about Amazon, and we have a nifty little store there. On the top right, you'll see Store, One Radio Network, and we have products in there that I've used or tried, or I'm very familiar with virtually all of them. There's very few in there that I haven't played around with or we know the source. We've got some really cool little new doggy treats that I give my girl, and it's just pure, natural, no antibiotic meat. Little sticks that you can give as treats in the morning. That's all there's in there. And then they have a little rosemary as the preservative. So it's really fun to find good, clean things for your four-leggeds. We have the gelatin that Dr. Daniels loves. We have the green can and also the red can, Great Lakes gelatin. And it's very, very nice product. Vitamineral Green is Health Force Nutritional. Man, it's really a cool greens mix. I love it. Tastes great. And it's all organic and raw. Pretty cool. Just a lot of great things in there. We've got a couple of Sheila Jets. We'll have to Dr. Daniels if she's come across her fave yet. I know she was on the lookout for that. We have some mineral bath flakes, actually magnesium. We have the pure spirits of turpentine from Diamond G Forest Products. This is our absolute fave. We've talked to this man. He simply sticks taps a tree and he cooks it, and that's all he does. That's it. He taps the tree, he gets a sap out of the pine tree, he cooks it, and he distills it. That's all he does, and that's called turpentine. And it smells so different from any turpentine you've ever had, and it's the only one, and we have it in our store, Diamond G Forest Products. So a lot of cool stuff. Dr. Daniels' Vitality Capsules are in there, but you can go right to our website. It's easier. Just go to vitalitycapsules.com. And then you get all the other stuff, you know, just buying from her. It's probably better because you have more, you have some more options. The grass-fed ghee is in our store. I love this product. Use it a lot. So we got some cool things all in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source on One Radio Network.
There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. We have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep on looking for the light. Oh, can't you see the morning after?
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
I played that song especially for all of you because I think that probably North Korea will wait till the weekend before they nuke us. So, you know, we'll be okay tomorrow. Do you believe that crap going on? I mean, you know,
I don't watch the news. I don't even worry about it.
I don't either. I don't have a TV. But, I mean, this government is out there trying to convince everybody that North Korea is going to nuke us at any day. And, you know,
I think it's all a big choreographed
it's
dance.
It's a scam. I agree, Doc. It's the biggest scam.
Between the two of them. Between the North Koreans and South Koreans and our government.
And the Russians,
government.
Too.
This is a big distraction to keep people from doing things that can really impact their lives. Instead, they sit around biting their nails over this made-up scenario.
I agree. Well said. There's no telling what fear, if people really buy into this stuff, what it does to the body, too, right? I mean, phew.
Oh, it's worse than the real thing, because the imagination could really run wild.
It's worse than the real thing. So I played that for all of you, so you'll be fine in the morning. The sun will come up. God, love. You know, you're just too popular. You know, I just got 1,000 here. I don't know. Okay, can you please ask Dr. Daniels?
I am now on SoundCloud, by the way. All of my radio shows are now
shows.
Podcasts.
Yeah, we're SoundCloud,
so
too.
So that means that this once-a-month show is going to be the only live show.
Oh, you're not going to do any more?
No more live shows, no. I'm switching all mine to podcasts.
Really?
So I'm pre-recording them.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see what you're saying. This is going to be your only live one. Yeah, we're on SoundCloud, too, and finding people all over the world that never knew we existed. So pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were going to try to talk you into just, you know, taking over the show once a week so I could take a vacation for a couple of years. I'm going to talk you into that someday. You watch. I'll talk you into it. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Trying to find... Well, I'm just going to take them in the order. That's the only fair way to do it, right? Yeah, so let's do it. Dr. Theodore Barodi wrote Alkalize or Die, not Sherry Rogers.
Well, let me find that. Maybe they both wrote a book with the same title.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, oh well. They were just correcting you. You know, people are. I have a big dilemma, writes Tanya. I just have a big dilemma, she says. I'm not getting pure water from my distiller. Distilled water gives me a headache immediately. Yesterday, I distilled already distilled water and had little of a white residue on the bottom of the distiller after second distillation, so I concluded that's why I got the headaches. My water still has some chemicals. No, I don't know. Well,
now, does she not get a headache after the second distillation?
I distilled already distilled water and had a... she didn't say, but she still got a little bit. Yeah, you can keep distilling it. You can always get a little bit. People do triple distilled. But I think she could just be detoxing with distilled water, and it's good for her. I don't know. Why would you get a headache?
Well, headaches are not desirable.
What's that?
I understand. Headaches are not desirable. So if she can double distill her water and she doesn't get a headache, then that's fine.
Yeah, that would do it. Yeah, if you're using city water, you probably could distill it 2 or 3 times and still get a little residue at the bottom, wouldn't you?
That's pretty bad stuff.
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
That brings up another thing.
Okay.
She should check to see if her distiller has a charcoal filter.
Yes.
So the way distillation works is you distill the water, and then you have the charcoal filter that takes out the dissolved things in there that might not have escape with distillation.
That is a
good point. You need to check and make sure your distiller has a charcoal filter after the distillation process.
The distiller we have in our store, the one that Sharon and I have, does have the charcoal thing at the end.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice one, very inexpensive. That was that thing where you said things, is that a medical term? You use a term.
Dissolved solids?
I was just being silly. Hi, Patrick and Dr. Daniels. Could you ask the doc how she would treat swollen lymph nodes? I have one at my collarbone and another one behind my knee. They feel hard as a rock, but I have no pain. I feel great other than the bumps, but I tried sauerkraut juice each day for 2 months. No change from Carol.
Well, I would personally ignore them. I mean, as a person who had a pretty big lymph node on the side of my neck in medical school, like, oh, man, we should biopsy that. So, we're going to wait on that.
Yeah.
So now, many decades later, these lumps are gone. So how did I get rid of them? I got rid of them by just cleansing, by switching to all organic and by doing enemas. And they just, applying castor oil head to toe, of course. So they just melted away. A lot of mysterious lumps just went away, just dissolved.
When you say castor oil head to toe, would you just slather it on and let it hang out for a while, sit around with it on there?
Well, I'm a busy girl, right? So I just slather it on, period, and then just reapply the next day. So I didn't have
You just put it on and let it stay there?
Put it on, let it stay. That's what I did. Now, you can wipe it off after about an hour or two, but I just put it on to stay because I was just on to the next thing and the rest of my day.
Mm-hmm. Anne wants to know how she can heal her blood vessels and her arteries.
I have to ask how she knows there's something wrong with them.
That's all she says, Sarah.
Yeah, so there's a lot that can happen with blood vessels and arteries. But the simplest thing, I don't know what the problem is. Sometimes if they're clogged, if that's what the process is, then you can mix apple cider vinegar and cayenne pepper and just dose that periodically throughout the day. And that will open up your arteries. If they are deteriorating or leaking, then you can take gelatin, and gelatin strengthens and fortifies the wall of the blood vessels as well as the muscle. So those are two most common problems with blood vessels. So I'm not really sure what her particular problem is.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Dr. Daniels. I've developed shoulder pain, perhaps in the tendons, from taking prednisone shots for an arthritic condition. I no longer take the shots, but I'm left with the pain in each shoulder. Oddly enough, the shots were administered in my knees. Any ideas to help me through this?
You can take Vitality capsules and apply turpentine topically to the shoulders. And people find that that's extremely helpful.
So then the lots of bowel movements helps to get rid of the prednisone still hanging around the body that's causing the shoulders to lock up?
Well, it's even worse than that. What happens is the prednisone has impaired her immune system's ability to clear the blood. And so then the Vitality capsules help the immune system do a better job by emptying the small intestine, the colon, and the bile ducts. So now it's going to make it easier with the bile ducts and intestines emptied for the liver to suck up more impurities from the blood. So that's going to prevent the impurities from reaching her shoulder, the ones that are causing her pain. And then applying a turpentine topically is going to remove them from the area and relieve the pain that way.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email, Paul in Leviathan, Georgia. Sounds great. I believe I have an ulcer or peptic ulcer. Are they the same thing? I've just gone by different things I've read on the internet. They have not been diagnosed from a doc. I don't want to go and have them stick things down my throat. Good for you.
Right.
I'm wondering if Dr. Daniels, I'm presently taking a DGL and mastic gum that I read are good for peptic ulcers, but does Dr. Daniels think that turpentine would help if it is H. pylori bacteria? Good question. All right.
So, we didn't do a disclaimer that this is not medical advice.
Not medical advice. No,
this is not medical advice. It's not meant to diagnose, cure, treat, or relieve any condition.
That's right.
And if anyone would even follow my instruction, I have absolutely no liability, responsibility in that area at all. It's totally on them.
Good for you. I like that. Thank you.
So having said that, so I tried DGL way back in the 90s, and it was a total disappointment.
Hmm.
Yes, turpentine does resolve H. pylori. So I had a patient who came in with H. pylori, diagnosed by another doctor, treated him with turpentine, he went back, they retested him, he had no H. pylori.
Just internally with the sugar, or maybe oil?
Yeah.
You just get it in?
No, we took it internally with the sugar. And
would you have to do it every day?
No. He just did it twice a week for about a month or so, and he felt great. He says, "Oh, I feel fine." And they went back to their doctor to get retested, because I don't bother with that stuff. I don't believe in it. It's, the tests are fairly inaccurate anyway.
Sure.
But anyway, it was gone, and he felt great, and he got prompt results.
Prompt. Are all ulcers a bacterial H. pylori thing, or do we know?
They're all, I think they're all a parasite thing. Now, whether it's H. pylori or something else is up in the air. Another question is, well, what's H. pylori? Well, H. pylori is a contaminant of tap water.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. So if you drink exclusively distilled or reverse osmosis water, you will never be exposed to H. pylori.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're not on tap water and you haven't been for a long time, good chances you don't even have an ulcer.
You don't have H. pylori.
So you can't have an ulcer without H. pylori, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
Correct.
For Paul.
Yes.
You can't. Ah.
Yes.
They form, but there's not, but there could be.
It could be a different parasite. You could be on well water.
Okay. H. pylori is just one name for one bad actor. There could be a lot of different.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Have you ever worked with this mastic gum that he's taking? I've heard
about
it.
Yeah, I have. Again, this was back in the 90s, and I just, you know.
Didn't work.
It's no.
How do you know, writes Rob, if you have Lyme disease? And then how would you cure it? Oh, here's a guy he's looking for. He's looking for love in all the wrong places, maybe, but.
Yeah.
Rob, just don't let that one go, but go ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what he's thinking.
So I've done a few radio shows on Lyme disease.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he needs to go listen to one of those radio shows, vitalitycapsules.com/truth-files. And you can just look through and get the ones on Lyme. But Lyme is basically an imaginary disease, and it is a cover story for vaccine complications, basically. There is no evidence that the Lyme organism causes any disease whatever. They cannot get it to reproduce, number one. Number two, there is no test that isolates it or identifies it. All of the Lyme disease tests are antibody tests, and all of them carry at least a 35% error rate.
And then go to vitalitycapsules.com. How do they find that file on that show, Doc?
It's vitalitycapsules.com/truth-files.
Okay. And then find
and
the show on Lyme, huh?
Yeah.
You know, someone told me years ago from Europe, a doc, that this whole HIV thing was a similar thing. It was a made-up.
Exactly.
And
it's made up.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just made
up. It's an imaginary disease. You've got AIDS if you believe you have AIDS. That's it. It's an imaginary disease. You've got a situation where they can't even isolate the organism from the infected person. That's pretty much a red flag.
That's what this person said.
You've got cooties.
So these people die because?
There's two reasons to die. One reason to die.
No reason. All the AIDS people that do die.
Yeah.
How come
they die from the AIDS medications?
From the AIDS medications.
So they've documented the death rate is higher when you give AIDS medicines. So that's one thing. The next thing they die of is they do have a condition, and that condition is simply relabeled AIDS. It's like in the third world countries. If someone has malnutrition, oh, you've got AIDS, and they just label them with AIDS.
Oh, so they have some other kind of condition.
Yeah, so you take a condition a person has, and you just label it AIDS. Maybe the person has malnutrition. Maybe the person has constipation. Maybe the person has dehydration, but you just slap a label on it, AIDS.
So how is it that in these gay communities, there's just thousands of people over the years that have died from this? I hear what you're saying.
AIDS will turn up positive because the test is a random number generator.
Right, yeah.
You line up 1,000 healthy people, test them all for AIDS, someone's going to come back positive, even though they're perfectly healthy. So that's one thing to understand. The test itself is a random number generator. And so you can have, let's say, a gay person. Mm-hmm. So gay people supposedly use more drugs than non-gay people. And they use drugs to enhance their sexual experience. And these drugs that they use for that purpose can destroy the immune system. And so what they really have is a chronic drug overdose situation. Instead of telling, hey, dude, just stop using those drugs, they say, oh, you've got AIDS, here, take these drugs on top of the ones you're already taking. So that's the deal.
Oh, you mean like the poppers and all that stuff?
Huh? Right, yeah, right, right.
What do they call it? Whatever. Okay, a question.
So what happens is, who gets tested for AIDS? Answer, gay people get tested and people in prison get tested. That's it. Notice there's no mandatory national testing program. I mean, shouldn't there be? If AIDS is truly contagious, person-to-person spread, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to label certain people. They don't want these, you know, white suburban residents to start showing up positive for AIDS. So they don't test them. In fact, when I was practicing medicine in the 90s, they told us, do not test white suburban housewives for AIDS.
Really?
And if you do test them, and it does turn up positive, ignore it. It's a false positive.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They told you that?
They told me that, yeah. That's a standard of care. So the AIDS epidemic is being used to label certain undesirables, those who the government has put in custody, and those who are homosexual, to label them and tag them for extinction with HIV drugs. That's basically the short story.
And in the third world, with us, this massive thing in Africa, you think it's all an extinction genocide program.
It's a genocide program here in the United States, too.
Yeah.
Right. In Africa, it's even worse, because in Africa, you do not even need an AIDS test to be determined to have AIDS.
Oh, good. You just have AIDS.
They have a symptom list. They have a list of symptoms. Symptoms are amazingly identical to tuberculosis, malnutrition, and starvation.
And then the Gates Foundation out there saying, well, we need to give these people more drugs. And so they're out there spending millions of dollars giving people more drugs.
Correct. That's a whole other story, because there's not an AIDS vaccine. I think the thing to understand about AIDS and about Lyme disease is that these are imaginary diseases.
Like the Easter Bunny.
Imaginary. Yes, just like the Easter Bunny. So saying I have Lyme is like saying I've got the Easter Bunny. Or I've got AIDS is I've got the Easter Bunny. Well, that's nice.
Final question. I know you got to go. It's 11 o'clock. But Dr. Mm-hmm. Daniels, thought it was interesting. She said, this is from Anita, are you glad you no longer are living in America?
I am just glad.
I'm glad all over, just like the commercial. I'm glad.
Just glad.
I'm glad all over.
Yes, I am. I'm so thankful. For all the turns and all the events in my life, I'm just thankful.
Yeah, good for
and
you.
Glad.
God love you. Well, got all choked up there. We love you, Doc. Thank you very much for your work. VitalityCapsules.com, the name of our website. You can get the Candida Cleanse, which is now offered free, right? That gives you the whole skinny on how to do the turpentine protocol. You can look for Dr. Daniels on SoundCloud now. Get a lot of her podcasts, because she's only going to be getting in deep trouble here being live with One Radio Network. So we appreciate that. All right, Doc, we'll see you in a month. You stay under the radar now.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
She's great, man. Well, I'm sorry, we had about 25 emails we didn't even get to, but I did the best I could there. I love you all very much. Thanks to Sharon. Thanks to Lynn. Thanks you for your ongoing support of all the products we promote. That's how we make a living. I love you guys. See you tomorrow with Andy.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.